Hey guys, I just want to take a quick minute. Say thanks for listening to the show today. We were testing out some new microphones, and the second half, when we Skype interviewed with Chad about Battlestar Galactica Season 2, really hard to understand. I had to go in and amplify some voices. I'm not a trained sound engineer, so I'll go ahead and apologize to you now for the sound quality, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Rancor's Brothel. Hello and welcome to Battlestar Brothel, issue number 26. For sure, we counted. It's been 26.
And if you think we are unsure about ourselves, you should count yourselves. Our more enthusiastic listeners will go back and count and double check, correct us if need be.
That does not count riff tracks. Let's point that out. Does not count riff tracks.
What else?
Or Battlestars.
Or Battlestars, yeah.
Okay, so anywho. I'm your co-host, Matt.
I'm your co-host, Dustin.
And I'm Chad.
you'll hear from Chad a little bit later. He couldn't be with us for the first part of the show, so he's here for the meat and potatoes, which is the wrap-up of Battlestar Galactica Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
So a little Battlestar Brothel crossover.
Yeah.
Having said that, friends, let's do our thing, man. Let's brothel it out. Just you and me again, buddy.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we can skip guest questions.
Today. Yeah. Well, here's a guest question.
Okay.
For you. Did you have a good birthday?
I did have a good birthday. It was pretty laid back. I had some wonderful dinner that evening. I fell asleep about 9:30. So, yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
Oh, my God.
Age?
You know what? I had so much good sleep that night. It was amazing.
It was the best gift you could have hoped for.
It was the best gift I could have hoped for. No one at work knew it was my birthday, and that's what I like. I prefer to just, like, let it be, let it slide, you know?
Very good.
But I got lots of good birthday wishes.
I didn't even know. Like, Facebook told me, and I was like, that fucking prick.
I'm bad about that. I don't remember birthdays very well, even my siblings. I remember my mom's birthday, March 29th.
When's Joe's birthday? Remember your son's birthday?
It was really recently.
Yeah, you came to it.
I'm not a good dad.
Oh, man.
Was that on his birthday or was that near? Or like
it was near,
near
his birthday.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why I didn't know.
September 2nd. Anyway. Yes.
Okay.
We're recording on some new equipment today, so if the sound quality isn't up to snuff, we're still playing around with some settings, so forgive us, guys.
Yep.
You'll hear it change, especially during the interview with Chad, because it doesn't work with Skype so well.
No.
So maybe it'll just work better in studio here. We'll get that figured out and hopefully give you a higher quality product here in the future. Hopefully this doesn't sound like shit. And if it does, really fucking sorry. Dustin, what do we want to talk about today? What's our first mini topic? It's been a while since we've
is it discount
show.
Discount X-Men? I've got a couple.
Do you? Good, because
yeah,
I don't have
do.
Any.
Okay. First Discount X-Men, X-Man, his name is Shake Awake. And his mutant ability is that, like, in the middle of the night, just out of nowhere, he'll sit up real fast and go, fuck! That's his whole thing.
That's his thing?
Yeah. He's like, oh God, fuck!
Sleep apnea is his
yeah,
superpower?
Yeah, but then he can go back to bed. I don't know how he's going to use that in battle or, you know, in a conflict, but that's...
Well,
his...
if he gets knocked out,
yeah.
You know, if, like, the X-Men get taken prisoner,
oh.
They're all bound and stuff, he'll wake up in the middle of it and maybe be able to free the others.
But he's going to alert everyone around. He's going to alert all the guards when he goes, fuck!
Yeah, that's true.
Huh. Yeah, that's the first one.
That's not just Britain discount X-Men, that's stupid X-Men.
Yeah. Oh my God, Britain and I laugh about that so hard. But, I mean, maybe it's just me and him. My second discount X-Man is, his name is Reese, R-E-E-S-E. His last name is Pawn. So his name's Reese Pawn. And, okay, his ability in itself is when he dies, he gets reanimated somewhere else. He just falls to the ground completely naked.
Then his body disappears.
Yeah, he remembers how he died. He went through that pain. He's kind of like a Cylon being resurrected.
Or Doomsday.
Yeah, so he wakes up super pissed off. And then he has to go and, like, seek out his X-Men group. And he's always cranky all the time because he's died so many times as, like, kind of like Scar. You know, he gets more and more pissed.
Each time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And see, the thing is, he's always cranky.
Reese Pawn.
Yes. He's always cranky. So that, like, when he's around the group, everyone in the group just doesn't like to be around him. So they send him forward to be the scout all the time. They're like, Reese, just go find something else to do. Like, he's the black sheep of the group. No one likes him. So they send him ahead to be the scout.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's how he often dies, is because he gets ambushed because he's not with the group.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like, I mean, that's very similar to Multiple Man.
Okay.
Like, Multiple Man, if he has a scout, mm-hmm. or if they have a situation where they need a scout, he can make a duplicate. That duplicate will then go out and, you know, whatever it sees on its own.
Uh-huh.
But if when that duplicate dies mm-hmm. or gets reabsorbed, like, if it dies, it gets reabsorbed anyway.
Right.
As soon as it gets reabsorbed, then Multiple Man has absorbed all the memories of that duplicate.
Okay.
So then he will have that knowledge. So that's actually, you know, kind of...
pretty close.
Reese Pawn is kind of based in a real X-Man. So yeah. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not really... I mean, Multiple Man's... not really. He's like X-Force or X... something or other.
Mm.
There's like Excalibur, X-Force, X-Men, Generation X, New Mutants. Oh, there's a fucking ton of teams.
Xbox One.
Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. what, you got any more?
No, those are the only two so today.
Well, that's very nice. I appreciate that, sir.
Yes.
Let's take a minute here. At Follow Networks, this month, we are having a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So... I want to go ahead and take a minute and geek out on a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Mm-hmm.
Every week is themed with a new Quentin Tarantino movie. And this week is going to be on Instant Film Review on Thursday. You will hear all about Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear about it at on Music to Your Ears. You'll hear about it on The Zymologist. You'll hear about it on Mad Chat. All our shows is going to talk about Django a little bit.
Okay.
So... have you seen Django?
I have.
You have. You watched it with me, actually.
Yeah, I watched it at your house.
Yeah.
Django Unchained grew to be my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. For a while...
bold statement.
It was Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction were in a tie. And I personally like Jackie Brown. Not a lot of people have heard of it, and not a whole lot of people that have heard of it don't like it. But...
well, it's not his original writing.
No.
It's an adaptation. Right. You know, so it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed like the music in it, and it was just a very a classic type movie, you know, in the 70s. And
mm-hmm.
Anyway, Django Unchained, after watching it, it quickly rose to my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. I was unsure about it simply because I lost a lot of interest in Quentin Tarantino after watching the Kill Bill movies, personally.
Really? You didn't like Kill Bill?
It was. I don't have a problem with seeing a lot of blood or gore or whatever. It was just too much for me. I got bored of all of the blood and, you know, the spewing of.
Well, we're gonna have a Kill Bill week, so.
Okay, well, I'll just shit on it all week.
Okay, good.
There was a little bit of that in Django Unchained, but it wasn't, you know, the whole movie, kind of like Kill Bill was.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely liked seeing.
I'd say the violence in Django was pretty over the top, cartoony at times.
It certainly was. I liked seeing a lot of the scenes with horses in them. I just like to see horses in the background, seeing what they're doing and how prevalent they are in the story. And
yeah, you want to be a horse trainer. Like, like your secret career.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I would love to learn how to do. And I might have some connections, actually, pretty recently. I'll talk to you about those later, and I might learn a little bit how to do that.
Ooh.
But my favorite scene in the whole movie is right at the end where Django is on the horse, and he's, like, making it spin and, like, making it do, like, the prancing.
Yeah, he's, like, prancing.
Oh, my God. That's what I loved the movie all the way up until that point. And then I saw that. I was like, boom, favorite movie.
Nice.
I just loved that scene.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
I liked learning about sweet tea and bourbon because that's actually really tasty.
I haven't had it.
I've done it. It wasn't bourbon. I guess it was Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Tennessee's version of bourbon.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, with Arizona sweet tea. Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
I'm gonna have to try that out.
Yeah, try it out, guys. Make sure it's cold though. Make sure the tea's already cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they otherwise you have to put a lot of ice in it because people usually keep tea at room temperature. So anyway, keep it in the fridge first and then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much because a lot of Westerns take place post-Civil War,
mm-hmm.
and this was pre.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you don't really come across that a whole lot. Mm-mm. Because a lot of your like, the outlaw Josie Wales and Clint Eastwood-type characters are going to be Civil War vets. Much like a Vietnam vet coming back in the 70s, for a period of time, there was a lot of films where you saw them as wanderers. They didn't really know where home was, and that's what happened with a lot of Civil War vets.
In the movie Easy Riders, I feel like they were some Army veterans. Maybe not.
I believe that they were. They were hippies, for sure. But yeah, I believe they were Vietnam vets.
Okay.
An Easy Rider. I haven't seen that in a long-ass time. We should watch that sometime.
We should.
I think that'd be right up our alley.
Absolutely.
Django Unchained, a great movie. And that concludes the Quentin Tarantino moment here.
Yeah. Love it.
On the Rancor's brothel.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we want to talk about?
I feel like we should have a word from our sponsors now.
Okay. No. You want to do it right now?
I don't care.
Fuck it. All right, we'll do it now. So, go ahead and just listen to our sponsors this week. We want to thank our advertising team for putting together a little piece. So, hope you enjoy, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Are you a nun? Do you own one or more rosaries? Are you a lady servant of our dear Lord Jesus Christ who is tired of her drab old footwear? While bowing your head in prayer, do you ever look down at your feet and wonder if there's something more? Well, sister, brace yourself for the genesis of divine footwear. Nunchucks! It's time for the exorcism of your Jerusalem cruisers and to resurrect some spirit into those feet. Nunchucks! Call now to give your soul some soul by ordering a pair today. It's the New Testament in foot comfort. Nunchucks! Walk in the light of the Lord. Nunchucks! Kick a demon in the face. Nunchucks! Finalize that path to salvation by calling 1-8-NUNCHUCKS. That's 1-8-NUNCHUCKS. For those of you who are too busy reading Psalms, here it is again. 1-8-NUNCHUCKS. Call now.
No CODs.
And we're back.
That's fun.
Nunchucks. That is amazing.
Good times.
You, sir, are brilliant.
Oh, I mean, it's our sponsor team. I can't take all the credit for it.
So. You and Brenton. Great guys. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned for some more commercials. We're going to commercials and PSAs. It'll be fun.
Well, I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of that segment.
Good deal.
Let me get the old iPad open here to get my notes for the Star Wars Minute. Okay, today I want to talk about a couple of products in the Star Wars universe. Tertiary backgroundy type items. Are you ready?
I am ready.
What the fuck is Luke Skywalker floating in after they pull him out of that dead Tauntaun in Empire Strikes Back?
What is he floating in? I know about him and the dead Tauntaun. He crawled in to stay warm.
Well,
right?
Han Solo put him in there, but yeah.
Okay, right.
He had already like passed out from hypothermia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I don't know. What's it?
Put your hand out in front of your mouth. We're fucking on the radio here.
What is it? Tell me.
Bacta. He's in a Bacta tank.
Okay. I feel like I've heard that term before.
They've referenced it in the films.
Okay.
Using Bacta. You can use like Bacta ointment on bandages. Or if necessary, you can do the full submersion. Okay. Or even just a limb submersion.
So Bacta is like a liquid?
It is. It comes in liquid form. Bacta is a healing substance available from the planet Thyfera, where two competing cartels, the Zaltan and the Exchupra, like Chupacabra, corporations control almost all of the product. Bacta was invented by the insectoid Vraltrix of Thyfera by mixing, by mixing alizai salve with a synthetic liquid chemical called cavum. The concoction is further mixed with a colorless, viscous liquid called Ambori. During the Galactic Civil War, the Empire realized the importance of Bacta and shut down all satellite manufacturing centers so that all Bacta had to be produced on Thyfera.
Okay.
And then they controlled the flow of it.
That's kind of like a monopolization.
Well, let me read on further here.
All right.
Let's see. Allowing the Bacta plants on Thyfera to have a total monopoly on production.
Hey,
look,
there it is.
Nice.
I'm so smart.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, the Rebels have to get a hold of some as well. So there are still satellite manufacturers of it, but they're with the Rebel Alliance. So, Bacta, that's kind of like your ointment, your unguent, if you will, that you use now, except it actually regenerates cells instead of just keeping a wound clean.
Is that like a really advanced form of Neosporin?
No, because really Neosporin is just antiseptic. It just keeps the wound clean.
Right.
Sometimes there's a topical pain reliever in it, too. Mm-hmm. Bacta literally regrows cells.
Did they say what it was in Judge Dredd that he... Have you seen the new Dredd?
That's like that liquid skin stuff that he puts on there. Right. Yeah. I mean, we have that now, too.
Okay.
That's that liquid Band-Aid stuff. You ever use that shit?
I have not. Cooksey tells a story that, like, I guess you're supposed to... No, maybe he just used... No, he used liquid skin. His dad would use it on the kids.
But there's crazy glue, too.
Yeah, you can... The same thing. Right, right. But there's a step that their dad just didn't use. I don't know. You got to do something before you use that. I forget what it is.
Probably get the dirt out of the wound.
Maybe. He just, like, used it right away. He just put the skin on right away and let it be.
Oh, so they had, like, chunks of dirt and shit in there?
Probably.
That sucks.
Yep.
Also, I want to say blue milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what blue milk is?
No.
Blue milk is it's a dairy product. On Tatooine, it comes from banthas. They milk banthas. That's the big furry-looking things.
Okay.
With the weird horns.
Right.
Blue milk is a beverage. Hmm. And you can see Luke drinking it at his aunt and uncle's farm.
Mm-hmm. Do we have blue milk?
I mean, you can make blue milk. You just put food coloring in it.
Right. I mean, like, there's strawberry milk, which is red.
You can do it pink.
Yeah, pink.
I wouldn't drink anything that was like blood red like that. That was that thick. Actually, be creepy as shit.
Something that I had learned from my mom is to typically try and stay away from foods and drinks that are blue. Simply because blue, as far as edible things or consumable things in nature, blue is not natural.
Except like, for blueberries.
Blueberries are more purple if you look at them.
Yeah. But if it was actually, like, sky blue, we shouldn't eat it?
Right, right. Because when you think about it, you don't see a whole lot of vegetables that are blue or a lot of fruits that are blue.
Really, I mean, eggplant's the only one I can think of that's even, like, purple.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, when you think of blue, you think of a lot of fluids that you put in your car.
Yeah.
Windshield
wash.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, in the past 20, 25 years, they've really... push blue raspberry forward and like candy and stuff, probably because mm-hmm. blue wasn't being utilized as a flavor.
Right.
So yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of it like that.
Yep. But I'm still gonna eat my blue Icy Pops, you know.
Well, yeah, and that blue ice cream at King's Island,
mm-hmm.
the Smurf ice cream, it used to be Smurf, and then it was like Huckleberry Hound ice cream.
Okay.
Fucking killer. No visit to King's Island is complete without getting blue ice cream.
I
don't even know what the flavor is. It's like NyQuil where. They say it's cherry, but the flavor is actually red. The other flavor is green.
Uh-huh.
Like, they don't have an actual taste.
Right, right.
So, that's gross. That concludes the Star Wars Minute. And apparently, blue foods.
And blue foods.
Brought to you by Blue Man Group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I would not eat a Bloomin'.
A Bloomin'? A Bloomin'. A Bloomin' onion. I love those.
I would eat a Bloomin' onion.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even like onions, but Bloomin' onions are delicious. Get some honey mustard on that shit. Fuck yeah, I want a Bloomin' Onion now. God damn it.
I feel like
it.
We should stop here and just go get
Bloomin' Onion. And just go to
Outback. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and we'll see you next week, guys.
Yeah, right.
And now there's a train, so I'm going to pause the recording. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Okay, we're back from the train. Last week we did an episode where we talked about Riddick a lot, and Dustin made a promise, so let's hear it.
I put out a tweet in the Twitter sphere that said, if anyone hashtagged Rancor's Riddick with their thoughts on the movie franchise, I would mention that on the show. And we had one fella who actually hashtagged it. I guess he replied to it. David Haringa says the whole franchise sucks. Rancor's Riddick. So. There you are, Haringa. I said it on the show. We now know your opinion about the Riddick franchise is that it sucks.
And that opinion is shared by many Americans.
Including Matt Etter.
Yes, who speak with their wallets by not going to see those fucking movies.
I'm still for Riddick. He's still on my all-star team.
God.
And one fellow that I added to my all-star team recently is Deadpool.
Yes, because today we're going to do for a versus Deadpool versus Deathstroke the Terminator.
Indeed.
I don't know where to begin because these characters, Deathstroke came out first. Here comes another train, so I'm going to pause. Okay, we're back from that train, which is kind of still going by and being loud, but fuck it. We like to talk and we want to do it now.
Uh-huh.
So Deathstroke came out in 1980 as a character in DC.
And Deadpool came
out. There's the train.
Deadpool was like 91.
Was 91, but here's the thing. Deathstroke's real name is Slade Wilson, and Deadpool's name is Wade Wilson. So he was made to be Marvel's brother to Slade. Like, that they are actually part of the same family tree. Uh-huh. I'm just going to, every time the train honks, I'm just going to stop talking, because... because fuck that guy. Carl Luger, please tell Conrail to stop it. Jesus Christ, man. Okay. Fuck. Deadpool and Deathstroke. What are their powers, Mr. Dustin? What do they bring to the table?
Well, let's look at...
let's look at Wikipedia.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I knew it.
Well...
this is all compelling radio. Mm-hmm. Vamp.
Or you just cut all of this out.
No, jerk. Fuck it.
Make me look like a fool.
All right, so Deathstroke has regenerative healing capabilities.
As does Deadpool.
Deadpool does as well.
I think Deadpool's are more powerful from what I've read.
Well, I believe that Deadpool's... now, Deadpool, even though he's in a lot of X titles and runs with the X-Men, he's actually in X-Force right now and a bunch of other stuff. He's not a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
He's a human mutate. His powers he learned all the martial arts and craziness on his own, but the government gave him his powers.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the healing factor comes from Wolverine, from his time in Weapon X programs and what have you.
Okay.
Which we saw in the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. So, you know, that's a thing.
So, Deadpool's got a foreign chemical resistance. Have you read any about that in the comic books, or no?
I mean, like, you can't really poison him, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, right.
What else?
Disease immunity. He's essentially got immortality, and that's related to a curse that's been placed upon him by Thanos. He has established a relationship with the personification of death. And
Thanos
has,
or Deadpool?
Deadpool.
Okay.
Let's see. There was an alternate reality version of him that was alive and still in business as Deadpool 800 years in the future.
Yeah, you saw that in the X-Men's Messiah Complex and Messiah Wars storylines.
Right.
Cable finds him 800 mm-hmm. years in the future.
It says that, and as a result, he's been cursed by Thanos to be unable to die.
Which, I mean, generally, if you have a healing factor that rivals Wolverine's,
mm-hmm.
you're probably not going to die.
Yeah, right.
He has these weird tumors all over him.
Mm-hmm.
He has like a weird cancer.
I feel like he had the cancer inside, and then he went through the process to become metahuman.
Mm-hmm.
And the metahuman, like the change in his body, caused the cancer cells to
they mutated as well.
Right.
And they are constantly trying to kill him.
Uh-huh.
So like if his regenerative capabilities were neutralized for a minute,
mm-hmm.
like he would probably just drop dead.
Right.
But then if the power is like whatever was neutralizing the powers, like if it was a machine, you shut mm-hmm. the machine off, I imagine his body would regenerate even.
But judging by the way this reads, even if he didn't have the ability to regenerate, if he like he would just lay there in like tons and tons of pain with the cancer cells, like he is unable to die. I don't quite know the depth of what Thanos did to him as far as this curse.
Hmm.
That's something to look into.
I mean, does he really even need the curse if he has that kind of a fucking healing factor? I mean, like Wolverine, you cut Wolverine's head off.
Yeah.
He absorbs oxygen through his skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put him in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
His brain shuts down, goes into a hibernation.
Right.
So, I mean, what the fuck can you do to Deadpool then?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. This last ability that Deadpool has, it says telepathic immunity. His healing factor causes his brain cells to be in a constant state of flux and regeneration, rendering him immune to psychics such as Professor X and Emma Frost.
And physicists such as Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein.
I feel like Stephen Hawking should be telepathic.
He might be. You never know.
Right. That's why Deadpool is on my all-star team. I didn't have anybody that was able to resist.
Things that I like about Deadpool telepathy is, I mean, I love his personality. Like, he is fucking bonkers. He is so crazy and funny.
Right, he's a wild card.
Yeah, always the wild card. Mm-hmm. But he always comes out ahead, and you got to respect that, you know?
Yeah.
Deathstroke, on the other hand, like, where Deadpool, will some he allies himself with good or bad. It's whoever's the highest bidder.
Right.
You know? If left to his own devices, yes, he will generally do what's right, but he will do it in a murderous, killing, crazy way.
He'll do it his way.
Yeah. I did it my way. Deathstroke, on the other hand, is just a bad guy. He is a part of the Suicide Squad in the DC universe. I'd like to point out, too, that Deathstroke's... I don't think his regenerative capabilities are the same, because if you cut out Deadpool's eye, he'll grow a new one. But Deathstroke's eye was put out, and it never grew back.
Yeah, didn't the Cylons rip his eye out at one point?
What Dustin's referencing is in Season 3 of Battlestar Galactica, Colonel Ty, played by Michael Hogan, loses his eye. Which is funny, because he also played Deathstroke in Season 9 of Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was Season 10. Either way, he played Slade Wilson. So, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Interesting connection there.
Yeah, a little different. So, what does Deathstroke have, power-wise?
Oh, man. This one isn't...
Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about equipment either.
No, we
didn't. Well, I'll talk about equipment while you go to Deathstroke. Cool. So, Deadpool has, in his arsenal, he has a device for teleportation.
Mm-hmm.
He has many weapons that he can carry with him at all times because he has a magical bag. Because magic does exist in the Marvel Universe.
It's kind of like a bag of holding in the D&D.
In D&D or Hermione's bag in the last Harry Potter book. And
so movies. So many jokes. So many jokes about that.
About putting things in her bag?
Yeah.
Mm, it's like... Can you hold this? Never mind.
It's like infinitely deep and...
Yeah. It's, hello. So he can carry with him whatever he needs. It doesn't make the bag weigh anymore, so it's not like... carrying heavy equipment. So you can see him, it looks cartoony in the comics, but you can see him literally reach into his pocket and pull out a huge bazooka. And while it looks physically stupid, it looks like a fucking Bugs Bunny cartoon, it is in his realm of capabilities.
Quite handy.
So good to know. You got Deathstroke ready?
I do. He has enhanced intellect, able to think 9 times faster and utilize that much more of his mind than your average human.
So he's a master strategist and tactician.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got enhanced reflexes, but so does
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool has, you know, from his healing factor, he has increased stamina, dexterity, all sorts of things.
Right. He's got retarded aging.
Okay. That's
basically, it's his aging is much slower. Like, kind of like...
Again, with the regenerative capabilities, you'll have that.
I mean, he's got his tactical analysis. Deadpool... kind of has that going on, but probably not to the point where, I mean, Deathstroke has focus.
Yeah, Deadpool's mind is like they said before, his psychic protection, his mind is always in a state of flux. So where Deathstroke will focus on a problem and face it head on and solve it 9 times out of 10, Deadpool will do the same thing, but he'll do it by looking at every angle at the same time in a very juxtaposed, fucked up way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get inner monologues in a Deadpool comic, it's fun like, reading.
It's trying to talk to Britton Frame in any conversation.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yes.
Especially when there's booze involved.
Oh, my God. Really, I see a lot of enhanced abilities. I don't see... He's got a unique physiology. Due to a military enhancement procedure, Slade Wilson's physiology was changed permanently. First, the procedure crippled his mind and body. Then the experiment rebuilt his physical and mental faculties further than a human could process or build. These enhancements make Deathstroke an enhanced human, not superhuman, and afford him the enhancements of, you know, he's got the intellect, the reflexes, the speed, stamina, strength, enhanced senses. But I feel like Deadpool has all those things already.
Mm-hmm, he does. So, where are they fighting at today?
Ooh,
we're not going to roll. I'm picking the number 3. What's on the list?
That was quick. Okay.
Just because we started Season 3 of Battlestar today.
Oh, nice. Let's see. Let's go to the IUCA. 3 is going to be Occupied Caprica.
Nice!
Dude, that was a high five.
All right. Okay, Occupied Caprica.
Yeah.
That's
fun.
Do we want to make it Occupied New Caprica?
Yeah, I think we should, since we're in that.
So we're going to be limited to the temperate zone, which is along the equator of the planet.
Yeah.
So a kind of a narrow tract of land.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Hmm.
Okay. So I will go ahead and say that they're probably not allowed to be there, not allowed to be fighting. So they're going to have Cylons. They're going to have to escape the Cylons, probably together.
Okay.
In order to fight.
What do you think their relationship with the humans is as well?
Deathstroke will see them as acceptable losses.
Okay.
Deadpool might have more of a compunction about it.
Uh-huh.
But not as much as, say, you or I.
I feel like Deadpool and Starbuck would get along.
They'd probably make a hell of a baby.
They're both kind of a... she does have a hell of a baby.
Yeah.
But that fall down the stairs. We think it's dead now.
Oh.
All right. So, continuing.
okay. So, they're in kind of a colder area.
Mm-hmm. Temperate zone.
Forested.
Yeah.
Cylons around every corner trying to kill them.
Yep.
Who is going to win in this battle? And I'm going to tell you right now, I got to vote Deadpool. And let me tell you why. There's one other power that Deadpool has.
What's that?
Deadpool is the only character in the Marvel Universe that can break the fourth wall.
Okay.
So he actually talks to the reader.
Uh-huh.
That is what we would call an extra-dimensional awareness.
Mm-hmm.
He is so aware, and his mind works at such a random high rate,
mm-hmm.
that he is going to be able to, I believe, anticipate the moves of Deathstroke faster than a muscle memory would allow.
Let's think about it. Did they just both phase to the planet, and they, you know, they look at each other face to face, and then they like both dive behind trees and try to plan, or have they been on the planet preparing? That's
no, like Deadpool's already been there, kind of living there for a while.
Okay,
and then Deathstroke shows up, and he's like, "Oh man, I want to go get some cheese fries," and he goes to the restaurant, and Deadpool's there.
He goes to the market,
and he's like, "Wait a minute. You're trying to steal my shtick, man,"
uh-huh.
which is exactly what Deadpool was doing originally
Okay.
in 1991. So uh-huh. The fight starts there at the restaurant.
Okay, in the market? Or
yeah, it was in market.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So
there's not a lot of planning
mm-hmm.
involved, so the master tactician isn't going to...
He's not going to have time to prepare.
I mean, he'll be able to prepare. He'll be able to solve problems as they occur.
Yeah, he's got his hand-to-hand combat for sure.
But it's not like he has time to set up booby traps and shit.
Yeah, right. Which one did you say was on the planet already?
Deadpool.
I feel like Deadpool has just set up traps all over this place, and he's got the thing rigged with bombs just in case.
Just for fun, actually.
Yeah, just for fun.
He's probably an insurgent. He was hired by the insurgency.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's working along with them, but I think
he's
also...
He's the merc with a mouth.
I feel like he's also working with the Cylon human police officers,
uh-huh.
like with the mask and everything.
Yeah.
He's working both sides.
Nice.
It's fun.
I like that.
And so
yeah.
he's got intel into the whole colonization.
He understands both sides of the coin. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never been a big fan of Deathstroke. Fucking train. Goddamn trains.
Shaggy! For a while, I wasn't the hugest fan of Deadpool. I thought he hasn't been around long enough for me to appreciate him. Deadpool, for the longest time, wasn't quite my favorite character simply because he doesn't have enough history. I don't feel like he deserves to be in the position he's in. But judging by his powers and his abilities and
his characterization.
His characterization, he's fun. He's they write him in pretty well. They didn't write him in well in the, X-Men Origins?
Yeah, I mean, like, when he was Wade Wilson, he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When they actually made him into the Deadpool, that was just stupid.
Right? Yeah, they didn't portray him well enough, and I think there are a lot of people out there who agree with me on that aspect.
Definitely me.
Yeah, but after learning more and more about him and having a little influence on that, like I'm really thinking that Deadpool is he's up there in my favorites, and I think that he's got the upper hand in this battle, not simply because he's my favorite or one of my favorites, but because he's got.
I think he has the upper hand in general. I mean, Deathstroke's been killed before.
Yeah.
And Deadpool's immortal, so start there.
Yeah.
This fight is to the death between these two.
Yeah, if you can leave it at
that. So
you
can't kill one.
Right.
At worst, there would be a draw
mm-hmm.
where he would cut off the head of Deadpool and flee.
Right. Man, I haven't read much about Deathstroke that puts him in a position to properly,
kick the ass, yeah.
stand up to Deadpool.
So there you go. Deadpool's got it. I can't remember who suggested that to us. So if you want to leave a comment on the Facebooks or the Twitters, we will give you a shout out next week. I can't remember. I'm so sorry. I think maybe it was Jeff Thorpe, but I'm not sure. Maybe Aaron Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been.
Maybe.
Maybe. So anyway, whoever it was that suggested Deadpool and Deathstroke.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay, it was somebody.
We were drinking real heavily when it was suggested to us.
Right, right.
So this is a sober chat this week.
It certainly is.
Yeah, there was way too many drunk pods, so yeah. I need to fix that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we said definitely throw something up on the Facebook page, but use Twitter a little more. I mean, we've got quite a few followers on Twitter, but I'd like to see more activity there. I'm going to try to post some more things.
So just hashtag Rancor's Brothel.
Yeah.
And we'll get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I want to bring up one philosophical point.
Okay.
Before we bring Chad on, if that's okay, or do you have anything else you want to say today? No,
that's fine with me. I'm interested to see what you have to say.
It was just something that I heard on Fat Man on Batman.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, they were talking about Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo were on. They're the writers and artists of Batman, the current incarnation.
Okay.
Superman is drawn very muscular in the comics, right?
Yeah, they make him pretty jacked.
How does muscle grow? Do you know?
It's like you tear the muscles and they regenerate almost.
They grow back and essentially is a scar tissue. Right. And that buildup of tissue is what makes muscles larger.
Yeah, that's the pain that you feel or the ache that you feel when you go through when you're lifting weights and such.
So, Superman, because of Earth's yellow sun, is indestructible. I mean, generally, it takes kryptonite to cut him and make him bleed, right?
Okay, yeah.
He his own heat vision, for instance, won't break his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the more powerful forces in his universe. How would he get muscular? He should be skin and bones. He should be stringy. Once he got to, let's say, after his whatever Krypton's growth hormone and his pituitary gland stops producing that, that should be his peak physical condition.
Right.
For the rest of his life. Because he couldn't build more muscle at that point when his body stops its natural growth cycle.
Do you think that there's something out there that is heavy enough for him to lift that would cause him to tear his muscles?
I mean, I'm sure that there is.
In the 40s and 50s he was lifting U-boats.
Yeah.
And naval ships and things.
But, I mean, he does it without breaking a sweat. What's he going to sit down and bench press, you know? The moon? Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's not possible, I think, on Earth for him to... At least not something that is set up like a machine that, say, he can go into a chamber that increases gravity exponentially.
Yeah.
And then he could just use a regular dumbbell to work out. But he's not going to do that because he's Superman. All he needs is the sun to get his strength.
Do you think he could fly far enough away from the sun? Lift some weights on some other planet.
Like he's like, okay, Superman's taking a week off, and he goes into a chamber that's lighted with a red light.
Yeah,
just like Krypton's red sun, and so he goes back to being normal. Yeah, and then he works out, pumps the iron, he's taking his protein shakes.
I feel like
that's a good idea. What about, I would never thought of that.
He's got his Fortress of Solitude up on like one of the poles, right?
North Pole.
That's not gonna be. It's not gonna have the same amount of red or yellow sun as the equator, right?
I think it will because it's like going to be always in sunlight, right?
It's going to be
like
in sunlight.
At a time.
But the equator is hotter because it has. Is it just? Is there less atmosphere there?
No,
or
it's
is
just
it closer
direct
to the
light.
Sun?
The light that hits the poles is slanted.
Yeah,
so I he's getting like the same amount. And actually, probably from the reflection off of the ice and snow, he's probably absorbing more sunlight.
Yeah.
Than he would at the equator. Mm. So.
I just feel like he's got this like really basic, like. Gold Gym weight set on Mars. He just flies out there.
Or like just the dark side of the moon.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know? Mm-hmm. He can go up there, have a little suit on to breathe.
Yeah.
And then go.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's go time, baby. Yeah.
But there's less gravity.
Oh, that's a caveat, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to go with Star Labs. Probably built him something.
I could see that.
If that were to be the case. But for the most part, since that's never been addressed in the comics, I got to say that current Superman should just look really skinny.
He should
look like an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Whatever point his growth stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I don't know what the growth process of a Kryptonian is generally, but we'll say 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. that's what he should look like forever.
So I think we can all say that I'm jacked like Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, though, 150 pounds at 90% muscle
yeah.
will never be 350 pounds at 50%
muscle. No, it won't.
So, yeah. And on that note, let's go ahead and welcome in our guest, right?
Can we? I'd like to throw in one more little thing. I recorded a little clip about the Twisted Crew Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it up on our show with Jeff, and I didn't have all the info on it. And I'd like to throw that in now.
Okay. Send it over to me, and we'll get that hooked up for you.
All right.
All right. Thank you, guys. And here's our bit with Chad from earlier today on Battlestar Galactica Season 2.
Good deal.
Hey, guys. We're doing it a little different today. We're going to have to cut and edit some fun things so we can have our guest talk to us today about Season 2 of Battlestar Galactica, our meat and potatoes this week.
So, all right.
We're actually recording this before everything else, but you'll hear it after everything else. So it's, I don't know.
Look at you pulling
things that happened earlier in the episode. That's why.
Pulling the curtain back that quickly.
Yes. We're breaking the fourth wall, much like Deadpool.
Nice. Well done.
That's good. That's good. Call back to earlier in the episode.
Yeah. We haven't recorded yet.
Oh, funny.
Anyway. So, Chad.
Yes.
Mediate, sir.
Okay, so like last time, I want to just quickly throw some backstory at you, and then we can kind of do some questions and some talkity talk. Just for your reference, the second season of Battlestar Galactica on television ran from July 25th, 2005, up until the episode Pegasus. That was the end of the first half. And then re-premiered in January. So it ran all the way until March of 2006. It's almost an entire year. Which
Mad Men right there.
It is. It's exactly. Yeah, it's exactly. And season two is pretty, compared to season one, it's much more character-driven. It's much more talky.
I felt much less WTF.
Yeah, right.
While watching it.
There weren't a lot of big battle sequences. There were a few, but not too many.
Yeah, there's a lot of, obviously the show was designed to be just the miniseries. The miniseries took off. And then it was just designed to be a single season to sort of clear some things up. But the first season was really popular, so now they had to come up with a way to get somewhere.
They had to up the ante.
Yeah, and so that's exactly what season two is. It's 20 episodes of creating backstory and putting ideas in your head, creating the idea of wondering who is who, giving you a few more Cylons, and just sort of bringing us all around. I actually don't like season two very much, just to let you know.
Are you done?
I'm not.
Less compelling than the first season. To finish it. Maybe it was me holding us back.
Maybe it was.
Like, we started watching season three now, so like I'm in that. That world is that's killing me.
Yeah, season three is really good. I'm not gonna say season two was bad because it wasn't, and it made a ton of it won a ton of awards. I mean, as far as like critical response, which is always interesting for shows like this, especially being sci-fi, it was really good. Although I would hardly call season two sci-fi, like you said, you know, it's a lot more just people and places than it is.
Very politics driven.
Yeah. And the show becomes that way, you know, it becomes very, obviously the presidential election in this season is pretty big. But again, just as sort of a, you know, to give you an idea, a lot of people were really upset because of how the middle part of the season got, because of how good season one was. And they felt that the first three quarters of season two was really down compared to the beginning part. However, that all in the public's mind as it was airing, that all changed with the Scar episode.
I will agree with that. I mean,
and that's, yeah.
Once we got past, once we lost the Pegasus or Admiral Kane.
Yeah.
Then it hit kind of a doldrum for me.
Yeah. Most people.
It was compelling TV, but it wasn't as compelling as season one.
Yeah, most people agree that after Scar, and then sacrifice the captain's hand, downloaded, and then the finale, lay down your burdens, that is where it becomes to that. That's where, like, from a fan and critical spot, that's where things take off. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were expecting a 13 episode season and they got a 20 episode season, which is just crazy. You know, that wouldn't happen today. I've noticed even like the major networks now are starting to try this 15 episode, 13 episode idea for television, which I think 13 episodes, right? I think that's the right length for a good TV show.
I mean, at least we're not, you know, in Great Britain where they have 5 episode seasons.
All right. Yeah, that's true. Series. They call them series there. Yeah. Well, whatever. Which I think is weird.
Only like 6 total episodes of The Office.
the original?
Yeah.
Is that right? No, I think there's more than that.
I mean, it's not much more though.
No. Okay. So what do you guys want to talk about? Where do you want to go? Do we know? I'm sorry. I don't have it in front of me, but at the end of season 2, how many Cylons do we know?
We have gained 3 more.
So how many, what's that? How many are left then?
I think at this point we're at 7. Let me think. Okay. We got Cylon 6. Mm-hmm. We got Boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the first season, we also have Leo and Discount Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Leon?
So I think it's Leo.
You think?
I thought
it's Leoben.
Leoben? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So in this season, we gained Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
The doctor.
Yeah.
The black guy who they just replaced with the back of a black man's head.
Right. Oh yeah, for half of it, yeah, it's just yeah, you're right. In the second season, yeah. I love the episodes where it's just a random bald black guy.
Yeah,
you'll find his badge.
I hope they replace him with the Candyman. That'd be great. That guy's awesome. And then Dean Stockwell.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's our.
Dean Stockwell is the priest.
That was okay. The priest. Like,
right.
I like how they're still keeping like a twin element with him. Like, there's 2 operating Dean Stockwells
of all right.
Cylons in season 3, which is awesome.
Aside from Cylon 6 being so hot. Dean Stockwell is probably my favorite as far as the entertainment.
Yeah.
Just the things he says. He's
kooky.
Kinda, yeah, he's quippy.
Quippy. You got to quip it. Quip it good.
Wow. Well done. That was really excellent. Okay, so what are you thinking after season 2? How far? I know you've started season 3, so I don't want to deep.
Yeah, like I'm not done with the first episode of season 3.
Okay. Okay.
10 minutes from the end of it, so.
So let me throw. For me in season two, for me the big moment is Billy dying.
Yeah, that was hardcore.
Yeah, that
wasn't a very fun episode for him. He got shot down for a marriage proposal and then he died.
Right.
So, I got shot down for one of those once. I didn't die.
Well, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean that to me is the big moment, and it stands out as big in the episode and in the season. It's obviously very important going forward because they start to set up the Leah Dama and what's her butt kind of togetherness.
The D.
Yeah, D. Yeah, and I obviously Billy had to die, and I know you guys talked about it, but you know he left the show in sort of he didn't want to be on anymore.
Yeah, he had better things to do.
Yeah, well he thought they were screwing him over, and he thought his character should be more important. Which it's funny because when you see him, if you think about going back into season 1 and then look into season 2, yeah, he kind of gets thrown to the pit, and thrown to the Sarlacc pit and the Rancor's brothel, and I don't disagree that maybe they used him wrong, but you know I think that with characters like that, you're always going to have somebody who gets kind of shit on a little bit with that many characters and that many episodes. It's my understanding that while at the end of season 2, when he dies, they knew the story the rest of the way out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they had to, I guess, make decisions, which is strange, but
yeah, like, one of the chief decisions was there was, earlier in season 2, there's a lot of flirting between Dee and Apollo.
Right.
And it just dissipates. And they had to do that when it went from the 13, when they started filming, it was set for 13 episodes.
Right.
And when it expanded to 20 and they knew Billy was going to die,
right.
They had to put a pin in the whole Dia Apollo connection.
Right.
For a couple more episodes.
What
I like
that.
I like to think of Billy as the Tasha Yar of Battlestar Galactica.
I was thinking the Zoidberg of Battlestar. Battlestar Galactica.
Zoidberg didn't leave the series. Tasha Yar left the series.
Oh, okay.
And like the only thing I ever saw her in after that was like an episode of Red Shoe Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Meow.
Wow. What do you think about Adama overall in season two? Lee Adama.
I like that he's fat in the end. I like
yeah.
self-represented on screen. Where my fatties at? Yo!
What up? He's going to be here in Dallas next weekend.
Oh, what for?
For Comic-Con.
Cool.
I might go. Him and Kira, him and what's-her-face, Starbuck. Nah, Katie Sackhoff. Are doing a Q&A together. I might go kidnap her. It's a joke, America and the NSA. It's a joke. I'm not really going to kidnap somebody.
Yeah, like one-third of our downloads for the show are in Langley. Langley, Virginia.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well done.
So,
do you know somebody who is in the CIA?
No. Nope. I just like to think that we're being monitored.
I could be.
Thank you, one-third of our listeners.
Whoever you are. Funny. Yeah.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
What questions do you guys have? Is there stuff that confused you, or is there stuff that you want to know?
I mean, everything seemed pretty well laid out in this season.
Yeah.
Like I said, it didn't leave us with too many burgeoning questions like season one did.
Right.
Like, where we'd watch an episode and we'd just be like, what the fuck did we just see?
And before, we were so excited about them coming out with new Cylons because there were only a small handful of them. Now there's so many Cylons and they're so intertwined within the story that we kind of forget about there being more of them, you know, unnamed.
Like, I mean, there's still, there's 12 total, so mm-hmm. we still got five more.
Yeah, we have enough to keep us thrilled for a while.
And we have two more seasons of the show, right? It was only a four-season show.
Right.
So, like, I want to, like, savor the Cylon reveals, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I want it to be my Who Shot JR.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I mean, do you know about the story going forward? Like, do you really not know anything?
I have no fucking clue.
Okay.
We have still not read ahead.
No, everything was really shooken up once the Cylons were walking down Main Street, you know, on New Caprica.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, everything, we got people aboard the Galactica, we got people down on the surface.
Yeah. Not unlike season one.
Right.
The way it ended. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of...
parallels.
A lot of parallels there, yeah. I mean, with the... You know, the way it goes, obviously the final season is pretty big for the Cylons. It's funny, I'm surprised that you guys haven't, like, seen or don't remember any of the advertisements, but it's nice that you don't.
Because it makes it very interesting. Like, when the series was going to end...
Yeah.
There was still, like, one final Cylon to reveal.
On the final episode, yeah.
And it was, like, a big one.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's how it works.
That's all I can remember from the ad campaigns back in the day.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I'm not going to... I won't tell you about it till you're a little farther through season three to talk about it. So.
I will drive to Texas and fuck you up, sir.
No, it's not going to ruin anything. I mean, you know how many Cylons there are. It's just, it's not a question of something like that. It's just the way it was advertised.
Is it wrong of me that the last Cylon is RoboCop?
Like Peter Weller or actually RoboCop?
Actually RoboCop.
Okay. Yeah, that's wrong.
Okay.
I'm gonna say that's wrong.
Yeah.
I still kind of want that to happen.
Peter Weller's having a good year.
Is he?
Well, he is having a good year.
Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and 2. He was Bruce Wayne Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Sons of Anarchy now, and mm-hmm. then he just had Star Trek Into Darkness as well.
He's doing very well, then. He's
fucking A, man. He deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the RoboCop that Gotham needs.
He is the RoboCop that Gotham needs. Who do you think is Cylons now that we don't know?
I still think the lady that they gave the baby to is a Cylon.
No.
The adoptive mother of the Cylon baby.
So. I think at this juncture, I have no fucking clue.
I guess you won't tell us either way, but you know, have we seen the Cylons on screen, but just assume that they were humans? I mean, is it somebody
that
don't
give us a number of how many? But yeah, is there Cylons to be revealed that we have seen the character besides?
Let's see. So the question is, have you seen them? You just think they're human.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe still Ty's wife. But if not, then she just got robo-AIDS from fucking Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
Robo-AIDS.
Maybe that's what was going on with her face.
She did look a little beaten up, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
I would like to think that Callie is still because of the...
She's got...
I would like to think that her uncontrollably shooting, like, she blacked out. Like, she went into a Wolverine berserker rage when she shot Boomer in season one.
Yeah.
I would like to think that that was some kind of subroutine.
Mm-hmm. And I think that her just being okay with being beaten by her now husband is... That quick change makes me think that she kind of expected it and it didn't really affect her that much. I mean, well, they experienced pain, but...
And also, I mean, the fact that right after she killed the, you know, Chief's girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
she starts getting interested in Chief.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that maybe, like, that's a part of the program.
It's
like
a plot.
Somebody needs to get in close with the chief engineer of, you know, the only military force left.
I'm gonna have to.
Right.
Yeah, I think Callie is a
silent. So I mean, that's, you know, that's, I'm spinning my wheels here. That's a probable point of conjecture, but yeah, probable.
Mm-hmm. That's a good theory. I'm not gonna try to give anything away, but that's a good theory.
Again, if you do.
I know. Well, no, I mean, and it's hard because they're. I will tell you that going into season three, I want to say it's maybe like 8 or 10 episodes in is where they start setting up some of the bigger things, like, and I'm not giving anything away. You're gonna know when you see it, mm-hmm. what the deal is. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff that starts happening, and so my suggestion going forward into season three is that you start thinking more about who the Cylons are,
okay.
And then I will try to chime in, not probably on recording, but behind the scenes and sort of gauge your views on some things. Which then you can bring up in the show later if you want to. But, yeah, it's... like I said, to me, season two, there's really not a whole lot to talk about because it's pretty straightforward. But what it does a nice job of doing is sort of putting some ideas in your head and introducing some, you know, some important characters and some characters who I really enjoy that are funny to me. Do you guys watch Big Bang Theory?
No.
Once in a while.
I can only tell you that so many times on so many pods that I do not watch that fucking...
I know. You, that's true.
Are you the Katie Sackhoff thing?
So, I mean, Katie Sackhoff's been on, mm-hmm. but Sam Anders, who's played by Michael Trucco, he was a recurring character for a long time.
Okay.
They have had so many people from this show on there, but it's so funny. I like he's one that I love, is Samuel Anders. He's just a cool character to me.
I like that, like, okay. Justified. I keep seeing people from the Deadwood guest starring on Justified.
Yep.
I like seeing people from Battlestar Galactica pairing up in things. Mm-hmm. So like Man of Steel, we had Gaeta and Hilo.
Mm-hmm.
What else was I watching the other day that had two of them? Hemlock Grove has the Chief and D in it.
You know? Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It might have even had somebody else. I just didn't recognize him because I watched Hemlock Grove before we started Battlestar.
See, when that happens, I just would always secretly hope that they'll be in a scene together and they'll make some, like, inside joke on screen about it. But, you know, that doesn't always happen.
Like, what was that? There was that show, was it Suits?
Yeah.
With Brandon Ralph?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm thinking of a different show.
Where Brandon Ralph has to put on, he puts on glasses to...
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of funny.
I'm thinking of
Superman.
I think that was Chuck that you're thinking of for that.
Chuck?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't fuck.
Whatevs.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Firefly and the main character. And I know where I'm going with this, but I don't have enough knowledge about it. So let's just continue.
all right. So let's wrap it up. Here's your chance, man. If there's one thing you want to know, if there's one thing you want me to spoil, here's your chance.
Oh, man.
Ooh, is Casey really Thrace's kid?
Oh, yeah.
That's season three,
No, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, season two is pretty straight ahead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Season 3 is when they get back into more of the space stuff and more of the supernaturally kind of stuff.
I almost don't want you to tell me, but...
Are the repercussions to Rosalyn having Cylon baby blood put in her?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You don't have to say what they are, but does that continue or affect the future of the show?
Are there repercussions?
Besides, I mean, it's not having cancer anymore.
I was gonna say. I mean, that's the obvious. I mean, Trek truly. There's always repercussions to everything. Mm-hmm. But that said, I would say that you've already seen some of them because she's kind of a different person a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the right thing to say here? She will have. It's so challenging. I don't mistake my not being able to answer the question for the obvious answer being yes. I just think to me the thing is that she's a little different. She does things a little differently. She lives her life a little differently. But you've already seen that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, YOLO. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, YOLO. If you're gonna blow a .348 on a breathalyzer, YOLO. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, she definitely lives her life a little differently, I would say the repercussion is that there are things that happen going forward that her before that would not have done that she does.
Okay.
Whether it's some of them are very important and some of them aren't as important. Some of them are just kind of backstory stuff that works out that way.
Does Apollo lose the weight?
Yeah.
I figured so.
Yeah.
He just had to peel that horrible makeup off his face.
All right.
That looks so fake, his cheek. I would buy the belly and the large ass, but mm-hmm. the cheeks, the jowls, fat man jowls, I don't get it.
Who at this point is your favorite character?
Right now in this show, I'm really liking Militant Ty. Oh, well, that's season 3. Fuck.
No, that's fine.
I'm really liking how season 3 is beginning with Colonel Ty's role.
Mm-hmm.
Which we will talk about on Battlestar Brothel this week. Tune in.
I'm always excited to see Admiral Adama on this, you know.
Yeah, when he got promoted to Admiral, that was fucking titties.
Yeah. When he makes decisions and, like, stands up for what he believes in and shit, like, everybody just kind of backs down and says, all right, we're going with his opinion. You know, tough guy.
That's funny. All right. Well, season 2 wrap-up's pretty easy, I think.
Yeah, I think season 3 is going to be a little more
difficult. Favorite episode in season 2? Scar, probably?
Scar was good. I really liked the Black Market one.
Okay, I do too, yeah.
It was just a real change of pace. Mm-hmm. It was like that episode in season 1 where we got Colonel Ty's wife back. Mm-hmm. It was just very different. I really enjoyed that.
In Black Market, I like Lee's decision to continue the Black Market, but to keep an eye on it. That's a very political way to handle that.
Yeah, that's really his first sort of political move that he makes on his own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is very important going forward.
And I also really liked the episode, I don't remember which one, maybe it was Downloaded, where it's pretty much an episode based from the perspective of
the Cylons,
but it was based from the perspective of Galactica Boomer,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the original Cylon 6, right. And how they kind of changed their perspectives.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I thought it was an interesting fucking play.
Right.
Whether or not that was a part of another system of control that was planned for, mm-hmm. You know, in the Matrix. I don't know.
All right. Well, going forward, I will try to shoot you some stuff as you release episodes behind the scenes that you can then bring up. Because season 3 changes some things. Obviously, season 4, which you're a ways away from, 20 episodes more. I like season 3 a lot. I will tell you that, I know I mentioned it before, but, you know, we watched the miniseries on a whim. And then we, when the show was ending, we watched it again and fell in love. And we watched all of it on DVD very quickly. And so season three was my favorite. Outside of the last, I do love the last half of the fourth season, but season three was my absolute favorite. The other thing, hopefully someday I'll be able to, or you can find it somewhere, somebody might have it. The Scar episode, on the DVD is actually 90 minutes long.
Wow.
Which it might be. It might be on the Netflix. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it could be. I'll have to look.
Because on the episode that aired on TV in the run was only 60 minutes.
Okay.
But the actual cut of the episode's 90.
Well, like, you know, the season one or season three premiere is a 90-minute episode.
Yes, it is. And it's good. All right, you guys. That's it, I think.
All right. Well, Chad, thanks for joining us for this period of the show.
You're welcome.
I want to thank our sponsor, Nunchucks.
For beating the shit out of you for having to leave.
No. Nunchucks. You know what? Tune into the brothel on Tuesday there, Chad, and you'll figure that one out.
All right, gotcha.
And our intro music from Starseed, you can find that at www.freemusicarchive.org/music/Starseed. And the Star Wars Minute intro, you can find at www.freemusicarchive.org/music/Jackson F. Smith. That's the Cantina Rag, so check that out. And enjoy all of our funny at www.followthe.tv and our YouTube channel, youtube.com/follownetworks, where we have horrible prequels is out and fun and getting views. So watch it. Click like. Subscribe to the channel. We will continue to put out funny things like me being attacked by a raccoon during a recording of Instant Film Review.
Oh, it's so funny.
So, Chad, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, and I mean, go forth and propagate, listeners.
Thank you. I will.
Y'all.
So say we all.
So say we all?
Question mark?
It might be the end. I don't know.
All right. Thanks, you guys, and I got to go.
Fine. Fuck you.
Bye.